So, of course, I have to start with a story as a mother, right? Is that all right? Happy Mother's Day. So, when my daughter Sarah came home from the hospital over 12 years ago now, she was in a bouncer. You all know what a bouncer is? Yeah, on one of those bouncers on the kitchen floor. And she was crying one of those adorable newborn cries. You know what I mean? Like, it's a newborn cry that doesn't annoy anyone because it's just so adorable. And so her brother, then about three, went over to her, right up to her face and said, "It's okay, baby Sarah. I'm your big brother." Oh. And I remind them of that story quite often, especially because our now 15-year-old would never say such things to our daughter Sarah now. And our dear Sarah desperately longs for the attention and affection of her big brother. But of course, this is nothing new. This is a need that we all have, isn't it? A need to be loved, to be attended to be cared for, to know that we are connected to one another. It is a basic human need. This morning, we have just heard, along with the disciples, the promise that Jesus tells to them the night before he is betrayed. He says, "I will not leave you orphaned." Jesus knows that we long for human connection. Jesus knows how anxious these disciples must be in this particular moment because they know that something is about to happen and they don't understand it, they can't make sense of it, but Jesus has said enough times now that it's starting to sink in that he is going to die. And so they are in fear, both for his death and for their own lives. And so he reassures them. He reassures them because it's not the death itself that is so hard, it's what comes after the death, the possibility that you will no longer have that person who will go with you and be with you, who will hold your hand. And so he gives them the promise of an advocate that they will not be alone. And in fact, to add to that advocate, he gives them the promise of one another. In the early church, too, in the Acts of the Apostles, which you heard Kent read from this morning, Paul stood in the Greek city of Athens in front of the Areopagus and pointed out the altar to an unknown God. And he commended them. He commended the Athenians, saying, "Clearly, you have a deep sense of spirituality. Clearly, you have a deep sense of knowing that you long for connection to God, even if you do not know who that God is. Well, let me tell you who that God is. A God who is not far and distant, but one who became incarnate and walked among us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Paul knows that they long for connection, both in community and to a God who is living. And finally, we hear words from Peter about suffering. And it's important to note that suffering is not something that is done for its own sake, but suffering happens when you love. For we do not suffer for doing what is right, for getting power or for getting wealth or for getting privilege, but we suffer for doing what is right for one another. We suffer for the sake of love. These words, these multiple scriptures today that just happened to fall this year on Mother's Day from the Word of God are as true and relevant now as they were then. In fact, I think, based on conversations I have had of late, they are perhaps even more necessary today than then. In our world that is overwhelmed with the growing presence of tech, in our everyday lives where we are all glued to our devices, where AI plays a more and more prominent role. I can't tell you the number of conversations I have literally had in just the past week about, well, there's no other way to say it, and it's gonna sound ridiculous when you hear it, but kids these days. Seriously, I've had multiple conversations this week about kids these days. About kids, I'm watching you back there. Do you hear me, Adriana? I'm talking to you. Yep. About kids' inability to pay attention to anything for longer than 5 minutes. Yep. About their reliance, yeah, you're waving, thank you, Howard, very much. Yep. For their reliance on their devices, on their phones. Do you have your phones with you? Are your phones out right now? No, good job, I appreciate that, yep. On their inability to hold sustained conversation, have you noticed that? Yeah. About their absence from playgrounds and parks and libraries because they're inside, on their phones and computers and video games. About their lack of access to opportunities to use their hands creatively, and I don't just mean their thumbs, right? But to use their hands to build things, to do woodcrafting and painting and sewing and cooking. And then inevitably, in all of these conversations, we get to the point of where to lay the blame. And if we're being honest, we all know that it's not the kids, right? It's not their fault, right? So who is it? What's the problem? Is it the parents' faults? Or perhaps it is the society that we are living in? Or it is big tech and how it has taken over our lives with little controls or boundaries? Or is it the teachers? What are they teaching in the schools after all? Which, by the way, is almost completely unfair to the vast majority of parents and teachers. Am I right? They're all doing their best every day, as hard as they can, to lead these kids in the right way. So what's the problem? What is going on, and how can we change it? Do you all know the song from the musical Bye Bye Birdie? Do you know the song? It goes, what's the matter with kids these days? Why can't they be like we were, perfect in every way? What's the matter with kids today? You all know that song? Yeah. We actually sing it a lot in our house, but sometimes we change it to what's the matter with guys these days? But anyway, that's a whole different story. Of course, it's said in jest because we know that we too were not perfect. I know that I wasn't perfect, and I know that you might be tempted to think that folks around here were perfect, but I've heard about some shenanigans that happened here at this church back in the day. We weren't perfect then either. And yet here I am. I hear from parents and church members and neighbors alike this concern for young people. And it's not just the technology, because, of course, that's largely up to us. The problem is when the technology is replacing what we all fundamentally need and long for: human connection, a sense of place in community. Then it's a huge problem. Jesus says to his disciples the night before he is betrayed, he tells them, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And by the way, that sounds very manipulative, doesn't it? The only way it doesn't sound manipulative is if you look at what those commandments are that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not talking about the commandments I mentioned earlier, like brush your teeth and clean your room. No, Jesus is talking about the commandment he just said in the previous chapter, which in John's gospel all takes place in one night. He said to the disciples after he washed their feet, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In other words, he gives them one another. Jesus knows, Paul knows, Peter knows, we all deep down know that we need each other. I will tell you what gives me hope, what makes me feel like we just might be turning a corner. And it is the kids themselves. For as much as we complain about them, they are the ones who recognize the problem. They know that it's an issue. They know that they long to connect and they simply don't know how to. And I see God show up in them. But they need our help. They need us to walk alongside them. We need each other. For that matter, we need God to direct our ways, to humble us and unite us. We need God, the Holy Spirit, to advocate for us and through us for a different way of living this life. A couple years ago, I was on Facebook. I know, it's technology. What can I do? It's not all bad, right? So I was on Facebook a couple years ago, and I saw a post from one of my co-counselors back in the day at Marloo Ridge. You all know Marloo Ridge, Lutheran camp out near Frederick. And this old friend posted a picture of her two kids, the view of them from between the two seats of the car to where they were in the back seat. And with that picture, she posted a conversation she had with her two children. Her little girl said to her, "I want to hold your hand. Hold your hand. Hold your hand." And she said, "Baby girl, I can't hold your hand. I'm driving." And then her little boy, a little older than her daughter, said, "I'll hold your hand." We don't always know how to reach out to God. We don't know how to make sense of God. Sometimes we don't even feel God's presence in our lives. And to add to that, I don't know what it's going to take to help this next generation find meaning and purpose and a future that does not involve looking at their screens in front of them. But if you can reach out a hand in community, especially in a community of faith, yes, I am biased, then you will know what it is like to hold the hand of God through frustration, fear, and uncertainty, through faith, friendship, and celebration. And so on this Mother's Day, God bless you, mothers. In fact, God bless all of you who are making human connection in this world today. You are truly God's hands in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.